Here you go.
I note that it's 1 o'clock, so I'd like to call to order the March 28th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Vieux Ferré Commission. Would the director take roll to establish a quorum, please?
Yes, Rick Byfield.
I'm present.
Kenny DiMaggio.
Present.
Steve Bergeron.
Present.
And then Mr. President.
Okay, so we'll proceed with old business and ask if there's an applicant present for 420 Bourbon Street. There is. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 420 Bourbon Street is the Green Raider Bank Building and Service Building. This is a review of Warmer Millwork shop drawings in conjunction with ongoing renovation. Current application materials received April 27th, 2021 and March 6th, 2023, respectively. The overall renovation of this property is nearly complete, but significant repair of the unusual front dormers is needed. The windows will be replaced with appropriate swept head cathedral style sashes, but it is unclear how much of the remaining work will be repair of existing conditions versus total replacement. The applicant stated that the owner is concerned about work on the dormers damaging the existing 21-year-old fire-free roof, which is in poor condition. Given the widespread failure of this material to live up to lifespan and durability promise, and the rate at which staff level permits are issued to replace other fire-free roofs installed around this period on a weekly basis, staff estimates that this roof will totally fail in less than 5 years. While some work to repair the dormer can be done from the interior, exterior repair from the roof itself is likely unavoidable, and adequate repair of historic materials should not be sacrificed to prevent damage to an already failing contemporary roof system. Staff requests clarification regarding how much of this work is intended to be replacement versus repair. The most significant unusual feature of the dormers is the oddly shaped pediment, which was stripped of any previously existing profile and capped with sheet metal, possibly as early as the 1950s. No photos could be found of these conditions prior to their detrimental modification. The applicant proposes to install a 5/8-inch exterior grade plywood pediment and then apply molding and trim to create a recessed panel. The pilasters and side trim appear to be a match for the existing conditions. Since the dormer is very out of the ordinary and missing original detail, staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the approvability of this detailing or any revisions or additions that may need to be done to ensure it is appropriate.
Thank you. Would you like to make a presentation or respond to the staff report?
Not especially. It's pretty straightforward, and we understand the concerns about the roofing material. We haven't heard from the contractor that there's an issue with him obtaining it, but we know that that is a continuing problem that the VCC faces. But regarding the question of how much of it is original material, I think it's pretty much just the rough opening, and everything else would be rebuilt as a true divided light wood window, because currently they have a vinyl window in there with some chalky framing around it, you know.
And I'm sorry, I didn't ask you to state your name and address in relationship to the property. It was my mistake.
Shea Trahan with Maid Design, 1100 St. Andrew Street.
Thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant? I'm looking at the slide that's up on the screen here and the cross section that's on the next slide. And I'm wondering, are you going to put some kind of cap on this pediment or this, you know, thing that's, you know, at the head, the hood over the window? I don't see anything shown.
Right. The shop drawings just call for flashing by others, it says. I'm assuming that's what you're asking about.
Yes, sir.
The apex of it. None of the roof will be draining off onto this, so we assumed it would just be some sort of a brake metal flashing with a drip edge, minimal profile.
You know, given the curve of the this, what do you call this element? Is it a pediment or is it a hood?
I'm not sure.
Okay, this dormer face. I think actually spending a little time and thinking about how you're going to accomplish that would be good. I mean, we don't see any dimensional reference, and you know, accomplishing this curve may actually be kind of a special thing. And so you might think about the material that you want to use there and actually how it will actually be visible on the exterior of the dormer, since it's not really specified at this point. Anything else for the committee?
It seems plausible to me that the trim, the jam trim, is at least dates back to this photo from the 50s. I know it's in pretty rough shape. Are you guys proposing to just replace it all in kind?
As I understand it, yes.
And as a follow-up to that, is there anything in the process of actually having this fabricated where you can use any information that's gleaned from existing material to inform the shop drawings if there's some difference, since you haven't been able to actually touch this stuff or work with it as you prepared these drawings?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, when you actually remove this material from the building, you may learn something about what it is or
sure.
how it's configured that might actually be reflected in how you go about putting this replacement together. The things that I'm kind of concerned about as I look at the detail is that there's a number of places where you're going to be catching water, which may have led to some of the degrading of the piece originally. But I'm just kind of curious as to how this is going to end up. Because you do have, as Commissioner Bergeron pointed out, you have some historic material to work with, but you haven't necessarily had the opportunity to incorporate that into your thinking about how to reproduce this.
Right.
Okay. Is there any public comment? And I'll note just for the audience that if anybody wants to make public comment, to please fill out a comment card so we have a record of your statement or your appearance before the committee. No public comment. Committee, any follow-up questions for the applicant or for the staff?
No, I mean, I share the same concern that having to remove all the material, if it's in such poor condition, kind of leaves you with, something that references something that we don't even know the full aspect of, so I didn't know if there was any chance to gain a little bit more insight, like Rick said, regarding its construction and maybe its original form, maybe also just for any of the pieces that are unable to be salvaged, doing the documentation once they're taken off could be very helpful. And then the only other thing I had a question was, you just asked about a group bench, right? At the top of the
Yeah, so we would have no problem directing the contractor and taking part in documenting the selective demolition and reusing any of the jam trim that we can, or reproducing in kind based on that. We've swiped profiles from old pieces before to do that. So,
This is a question for the committee. Do you have any difficulty with the use of this half-inch exterior grade plywood as the face panel for the for what's visible on the outside of the dormer? It's visible in the cross-section on drawing 19, sheet 19.
I'm assuming that that's because of the plywood sheathing behind it, and then the ability to cut that out of a solid piece would have to make it so much thinner that it wouldn't be.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just wondering.
Okay.
And we have a pretty highly rated building.
In this section, could you tell?
There's an error in that section. The portion of the wood that appears to be crossing the window should not have been drawn in section. That would actually be seen in elevation. That's the profile of the jam capital beyond.
Mm-hmm. What about this plywood, though? The half-inch exterior grade plywood panel.
What's that?
Is there an alternate that you could use for the plywood, or is that a concern for you as designer of this
would
detail?
Would you rather like a solid hardwood
or
a finished grade
flush
panel?
I mean, there's a way to kind of build a piece of wood up so that it actually has, you know, kind of real character. But I'm just wondering if this is a concern for the committee.
Well, it says that there's the existing dormer face panel, and then the half-inch plywood on top of it.
Right.
So I guess it also has to do with whether or not the existing dormer face panel is able to remain in place.
To be kept.
Yeah. So that means you're just building everything out by that additional half inch.
Right.
Is that?
I think that's maybe to keep it from getting too chunky, but I agree that plywood in that location would be better if it were a hardwood or solid wood.
Okay.
And it's really two sheets of plywood that are being lapped over that existing mm-hmm. panel, 5/8 and then 3/4.
Yeah, I think that's something to look at. Okay, is it time for a motion in the matter of 420 Bourbon Street?
I have a motion, but I would like to just ask the other committee members if you feel that
the
second pass at our
committee,
or these types of items can be reviewed by the staff, and if they're worked out. So do you feel that based off of the questions that we asked and a couple of the items that need to be tweaked a little bit, or you know, just clarified in the drawing, if the intent and the construction doesn't really change in terms of the aesthetic or what the profile would end up being, would you feel comfortable with that? And if there are some items that have to be changed out, that change it enough that it kind of
And will you be handling that?
Yes. Yeah, okay. And we'll send it back to you and everything. Thank you for that.
Yeah. You only just be sure your motion addresses the issue of material and you can handle it.
Okay. Well, in that case, in the matter of 420 Bourbon Street, I'd like to move for approval of the proposed work at the dormers with modifications made based off the conversation today regarding materiality, construction, salvage versus new, and flashing details, among others, to be handled at the staff level unless any of the changes or revisions greatly alter the appearance that's been proposed.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 And the motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank
I appreciate
y'all.
It.
Yeah.
See y'all later.
The next item is 317 through 19 Charter Street. Do we have an applicant? We do. Can we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 317 through 19 Charters is a green-rated building. 316 through 18 Exchange Place is a yellow-rated building. That's where this proposal is located. This is a proposal to alter millwork on the Exchange elevation. Her application materials received August 24th, 2021 and March 8th, 2023, respectively. During interior demolition, the applicant discovered that the floor level had been raised at the yellow-rated Exchange Place building. They proposed to remove the 2x6 framing on the interior and restore it to the previous floor level. While they originally proposed to only modify and replace the doors and side lights, the applicant stated that the entire assembly, including the transoms, require replacement as they are in poor shape. The proposed elevation shows elongated panels in the side lights and doors, increasing the panel from 18.5 inches to 24 inches. The bottom rail will still be 11 inches, and the 8.5-inch lock rail will stay in its current location. Staff is concerned that this will give the overall units a high waisted appearance, but notes that this elevation and millwork are already atypical for the district. Staff notes that more complete millwork drawings, including full head, jamb, and cell details, including the transom and transom bar, must be submitted for final review, and this millwork should be retained by the contractor until the new millwork has been approved and fabricated.
Thank you. You guys can state your name and address and relationship.
Steve Bennington, 123 South Piers. We were a little surprised when we were demoing it. The 2x6 is on top of an existing slab to elevate the interior floor by 6 inches. So, and evidently it was dug for plumbing purposes so the sewer lines could run underneath it. But we're gonna cut up the slab, so we would remove it. You know, make the door a little taller, I think, like it should be. We may be able to save the transom, though. We don't necessarily have to get rid of the transom. But I don't know, we're going back and forth on that. I mean, if you know, we could possibly save it. It's a little crooked, but we could save it. But I think the side lights and the door definitely need to be totally redone. First of all, it would have to be elongated 6 inches.
Hmm. Interesting.
What?
It's interesting. Committee, any questions for the applicant? Or
yeah, that kind of shows where the level,
yeah,
you know, supposed to be. That's that shot does. You know, you can see that 6 inch height from the neighbor.
So what do you think happened? Did they completely...
They put 2x6s over the slab.
But did they move the frame up, or did they cut the frame off?
They just put a fascia on that, on this 2x6s right there underneath the door. This might be a better photograph, the one I have here, but if you want to see it...
Yeah, we have about that same photograph in our set. Committee, this is an interesting one.
Rick, it looks like the door and the side lights might have been installed at the same time as the elevated floor.
Oh, yes. That,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Does it look like they cut it off the top?
You can see the door's really not even tall enough for the frame.
Rails are still really high.
You see the filler in the top.
I can't imagine them taking 6 inches off the bottom of these, but like...
Yeah.
I mean, I think if the transom and the casing can be maintained, then replacing the door and then I guess secondarily the sun lights in something that proportionally makes the most sense with the other elements with this.
If you prefer us to bring the side lights down 6 inches instead of the panel, we can do that. I mean, that's no big deal.
Well, so so the side lights have more status here than the doors, right? They've been there longer in your estimates?
Longer than what, excuse me?
The side lights and the frame are older elements in this elevation. They're the same on both sides. And so your idea is you're going to maintain that same datum line for the bottom of the lower light on the side the side lights and use that as the lock rail elevation
for the door.
Yeah.
Yes. So you know all I did was elongate the panels. You know.
Right.
That's 6 inches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's all going to be new. We could do anything.
And so where does that put the lock rail? At what height is the lock rail? It's not dimensioned in these drawings.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't have it off the top of my head.
Well, that's no problem. Okay.
Here's another like little sketch that's got some dimensions on it.
That's right, that hand sketch. That really
yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That was my field measurements right there. So add 6 inches to the bottom of that. If y'all can see that, I don't know, I can't.
Yeah. So it's...
bottom of the glass at 37 on this sketch.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah. But are we adding 6 inches?
Correct.
To that 37? So now the bottom of the glass will be at 43?
They take half of that 43, so it's like 39 inches for the center line of the lock rail. The staff is right. It's going to be a little bit high-waisted. it just took us a while to get there. Okay. Is there any public comment on this proposal? Seeing no public comment, committee, any final questions for the staff or for the applicant? Is there a motion in the matter of 317 through 19 Charter Street with considering the Exchange Alley elevation?
Yes, in the matter of 317 to 19 Charters, 316 to 18 Exchange Place, I move to conceptually approve the proposed door and side lights with the lock rail to be revised to plus or minus 39 inches to the center of the lock rail. Any other final details to be worked out at the staff level?
Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks, Steve.
All right, thanks.
Good luck. Next matter is 416 Charter Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. We do? We do. Can we have staff staff report, please?
Sure. 416 through 20 Charter Street is a 416 through 18 Charter is a green rated building. 420 Charter is brown. This is taking place on the transition of the green to brown construction. This is a proposal to install ADA compliant door hardware. For application materials received November 28th, 2022 and March 8th, 2023. The applicant is seeking BSA approval of an equivalency for the main entrance door, which is required by code to have at least one leaf with a 32-inch clear width when the door is open 90 degrees. The applicant's letter states, quote, the existing front entry doors consist of two 32-inch wide leaves and sit between two granite columns with only 1 inch of jam space on either side of the doors, making it not possible to widen the opening. The ADA has a similar requirement for door clearance. Rather than removing the existing door and creating a new single door with or without side lights that won't match the rest of the building, we propose to retain the existing doors and install overhead door operators, which can open the doors from either the inside or outside by pressing a button. The doors will remain unlocked during business hours and be simply pushed or pulled open, depending on which side of the doors one is on, or the button can be pressed and the doors will open automatically. The doors swing in the direction of egress as is required. This equivalency was approved by the BBSA at their March meeting. Both doors will open at the same time, which will also require replacement of the existing astragal with a sweep astragal. It is not clear from the submitted materials which side of the doors they will be mounted to or how visually intrusive this feature would be. The only proposed hardware on the exterior of the building is a push button mounted to the front face of the granite pilaster to the right of door 103. If the hardware is wireless, a 4¾ by 4¾ actuator button is needed. If it is wired, the size of the push button is reduced to 1¾ by 4¾. Either option will require a surface junction box approximately 1¾ inches deep. Staff much prefers this push button solution to one that would modify the millwork and create an irregular bay, and the wireless button is likely more discreet and less damaging to the granite pilaster. It is unclear how much repair to the pilaster would be needed if the junction box were to be removed. It is noted as surface mounted. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposed hardware. Staff notes that the BBSA also required that some sort of panic hardware be installed on the outer set of doors. Panic hardware also requires BCC review, but may be handled at staff level if it is typical and not visible from the exterior.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
Sure. Daniel Winker at Wink Architecture. I'm the architect for the development. In final code review, realized that the entry doors don't meet the code, so we had two options, basically rebuild it as a single door with side lights or keep the existing doors, which we thought would be a better option. In terms of the sweep, I was hoping to keep the existing sweep, but the door hardware, the present door hardware, they said it has to be a sweep type astragal instead of the existing astragal. I was considering the wireless option mainly because, it's a solid granite column, but I realized that all those lights are also attached to the granite column. They were able to just drill through from the backside. So, we could do either. I think the wired one it'd be a smaller button, and again, we would have to drill through for the conduit from the backside for the inside of the building, but. Either option will have to have some service mounted screws, so we have to come to the granite column either way.
Okay.
And as far as the egress, the panic bars, those would be seen from the exterior.
And what about the arm swing? It's located on the interior, right?
Yeah, it's on the inside.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal? I have a quick one. So for the wired actuator, is there a requirement for a junction box to be mounted behind it?
I think both of them would have to have the junction box. It's just the wired application can be a smaller button rather than the wireless has to be a bigger button.
So the button would be held off of the granite by as much as 1¾ inches?
Yeah.
Huh. And that would be an uncowled. That would just be kind of galvanized metal or whatever, and then the right. actual finished piece would be held that much further off. Yeah. Well, I like your solution. The button is kind of a problem.
We've actually never done one of these. We've never had one of these.
Uh-huh. This is, yeah, the code really likes this,
yeah.
So.
We've never had one here, so.
Committee, questions, concerns, comments?
So in the wireless configuration, what is the junction box for?
Well, you still have, it's probably for mounting, is I'm guessing. I have to probably dig into that a little bit deeper, but it's probably to mount, you have to have something that that button goes into to mount.
I'm just going to put this out for discussion, but is there any way that you could actually do some kind of brake metal surround to surround the box and mount the button to, just so we're not seeing raw electrical connection?
Right, yeah, no, I would like to do that. Okay. Yeah.
You need something, you know, nice and crafty. Yeah, crafty. Okay. Is there any public comment on the proposal for 416 Charter Street? Seeing none, committee, any final questions for the applicant or for the staff before we go to motions?
So the wireless button, is it powered by batteries or?
Yeah, I think there's probably a battery inside there, and then there's a receiver. It has to come with two more receivers that are inside, mounted up on the openers above the doors.
Okay.
But they have to go with a bigger button, they said, because exterior application, it wears out more, and that's why it has to be a bigger button for whatever technical reason, I'm not sure why. I mean, I prefer the wired button, I think, just because it's less expensive and it's smaller on the outside, less visually obtrusive anyways.
Well, I mean, if I'm sorry?
And so that's just the extra drill hole for the conduit and then the...
Attachment points. But your junction box is going to be the thing that drives the size of this thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so if we use the exterior push button, it would be a smaller box. I think I have to go back and check the cut sheets, but it's something that is that size of the button, I believe.
Okay. Do we have a motion in the matter of 416 Charter Street?
Would be the size of the button.
It's a little bit different. See, it's a little bit different. The wire button.
Looks like
on.
Yeah,
but like you see the J box for the wire one is actually smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting, but that's the size.
Uh-huh.
And there's a picture of that J box on slide 56. It's a special J box.
To make a motion. In the matter of 416-420 charters, I move for conceptual approval of the proposed hardware with an aesthetic preference for the wired button and J-box due to the smaller profile, as long as the damage or modification to the granite column doesn't exceed what's been outlined in the application.
Would you like to add anything about treatment of the J-box with brake metal surround?
Oh, thank you, yes. And based off of the conversation today with the request for brake metal surround on the J-box.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
Yep, I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
You got your push button. You can work out the details with the staff.
Karen, do we want to talk about the parapet?
It's not...
Forgot to put it in the report because that wasn't part of the same submittal, so I'll look at that again with Brian and we'll just probably handle that at staff. I just been bringing it today because we were hearing that I forgot to put it in. So,
you want to leave a sample?
That'd be great.
We'll move on to new business and ask if there's an applicant present for 729 Governor Nichols. We have an applicant present. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 729 Governor Nichols is a green-rated main building. an unrated new addition. This is a proposal to add new board and batten shutters to one window opening and one door opening. For application materials received July 29th, 2022 and March 8th, 2023, respectively. The applicant reached out to staff inquiring about making a change to the previously approved plan by adding new shutters at two locations. All new shutters are proposed to be board and batten style. Although board and batten shutters are now the prevalent type seen on this building, it is much more likely that this circa 1900 building would have had all louvered shutters. Staff questions if new shutters should match the existing board and batten or be more historically appropriate louvered shutters. The first location is at a window on the recently constructed new addition. As this is new construction, the installation of a new shutter may be appropriate. The staff is concerned because of the location of the window near an inside corner of the building. Proximity to the adjacent wall would result in one leaf of the shutter resting against that wall, rather than being able to fully open. Alternatively, the applicant proposed a single leaf shutter that would cover the entire opening and open away from the adjacent wall. The second location proposed for a new shutter is at the door on the Bourbon Street side of the building. This shutter is noted as being a single leaf shutter, which staff finds unusual. If approved, staff recommends that a matching pair of shutters be installed rather than one wide shutter. The guidelines note that the BCC does not allow installing shutters in a location where they would not have existed historically. Staff finds it plausible that this side door may have previously had exterior shutters. Staff questions if there is any physical evidence of the previously existing shutters at this opening. Staff also notes that because of the narrow width of the alley and the proximity of the masonry property line fence, there is virtually no visibility of this opening except from within the alley itself. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the concept of installing shutters at these two locations, and if approved, per type and arrangement of the shutters.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please?
Yes, I'm Levison with Williams Architects, 824 Barone Street.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
We do not. We're just here to listen and get feedback.
Okay, thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
Looks like that side door is swinging out right now.
It is, yes.
So it is
up to the stairs. Right.
So is the proposal to have it swing in?
I think that's part of the current proposed or approved work that's in.
Okay.
Right.
Is there any public comment on the proposal for 729 Governor Nichols? I'd like to start by saying that I think that given the fact that this is an unrated portion of the building that we can waive the guideline that would suggest that only shutters can be installed on openings that previously had them. I don't have any trouble with the changing the swing of the door, and I think that there's probably a couple different ways to handle these shutters given how tight the location is. I'm not sure if this solution is the best, but I think this is something that we could probably leave to the staff to work out, having addressed the guideline question.
Have you considered a two-leaf shutter that would be mounted on hinges to one side?
Like bifold?
Bifold.
As a paired-up leaf and a bifold then?
Right.
That's nothing we didn't consider, but that's something we can do.
It would just seem like that would be less, of a wide,
right.
That's a recommendation. I think we're certainly amenable to that. I know it's harder to do that. So.
And would that be in the board and batten style or the shutter style?
Maybe that's for the batten style.
Okay, committee, you've got to step up on this one.
All right. I mean, given the prevalence of the board and batten on all the elevations except for the front sidewalk side, my thought would be that the board and batten would be a little bit more cohesive considering it's not historic fabric as well. Mm-hmm. It's more about just not drawing attention to itself. At the same time, though, the only reason I would say louver might be acceptable at the side door is because it's kind of dark in that little alley, and you might want to get as much light as you can in there. But I think, the board and batten shutter, as kind of mentioned, where You could do a single leaf, but it has the hardware would be, seems like most appropriate in my mind.
I think that a motion that encouraged the use of a bifold shutter in both locations, if the details work out, might be the best approach.
How wide is the little window that's at the back section, the new construction back?
To be honest, I can't tell.
What's the width of it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Sometimes there's a little narrow enough that you have a single.
Yeah. I just think about that.
Yeah, it's weird to put it away from the corner for some reason. But, yeah.
Okay, is there any public comment on this proposal? I'm sorry to cut you off. Public comment? Okay. Any final discussion before we go to a motion in the matter of 729 Governor Nichols? Hearing no discussion, is there a motion in the matter of 729 Governor Nichols?
Yes. In the matter of 729 Governor Nichols, I move to conceptually approve the installation of shutters at the two proposed locations to be in the board and batten style, with all final details to be worked out at the staff level, encouraging the applicant to explore the use of bifolds at each location.
Thank you. Is there a second for that motion?
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming
in
today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
The next item on the agenda is 908 St. Peter Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 908 St. Peter is a green-rated main building and service buildings. This is a proposal to renovate the main and service buildings, including the installation of new mechanical equipment and front stair handrails. Fabrication materials received March 10, 2023. Materials have been submitted for an extensive renovation of this property. The majority of the exterior work appears to be general cleaning up of the building and repairs to match existing. Staff noted the following items in need of architectural review. On sheets A141 and A401, there is a note about removing the textured stucco finish from the front masonry foundation wall. Staff notes that the same finish is seen on the sister building next door. Although it is not necessarily original to the building, staff suggests that this textured stucco has gained its own significance and recommends retaining this existing texture. At both entrance stoops, new metal handrails are proposed as seen on sheet A41 and detailed on A501. These rails are shown as simple square metal with several vertical pickets. The rails only appear at the bottom two steps to allow the shutters at the entrance doors to remain operable. Staff finds the concept of simple rails in these locations conceptually approvable, but recommends eliminating the vertical pickets to further minimize the rails. At the rear of the main building, there's a low-sloped shed roof that currently features a non-approvable asphalt shingles. The applicant proposes to remove this roofing material and to install a new standing seam aluminum roofing in an ash gray color. Staff has no objection to this aspect of the proposal. This roof is also the location of one existing HVAC condensing unit. During discussions with the applicant, the idea of adding a second unit to this roof for the rear building was mentioned. Staff notes that the plans show a new unit to be installed in the balcony of the rear building, but staff greatly prefers the alternative of installing a second unit on this roof. At the rear building, existing window units, including one inappropriately installed in the transom window, will be removed and the millwork repaired or replaced. The applicant plans to remove the first and second floor portions of the existing chimney, but support the top at the attic level so that there will be no change to the exterior portion of the chimney. Provided that this can be done safely and successfully, there will essentially be no exterior work to this element. Overall, staff is encouraged to see this property receive some much-needed attention. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposal with the exception of the removal of the textured stucco, and with the applicant work with staff regarding details of the handrails and rear building mechanical equipment.
Thank you. I'd just like to make one correction to the staff report. That was Galvalume roofing, not aluminum roofing. So it's actually an important detail. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property, please?
Jenny West, architect of Studio West, 2340 Dauphine Street. In response to the staff's report regarding the textured stucco, we have no objection to that. The owner had requested smooth, but we understand ARC, whatever society here will govern. The stoop handrail, we have no objection to simplifying these handrails. With the roof and mechanical equipment, we are in agreement, and we have no objection to the second item regarding relocating the HVAC unit to the sloped portion of the roof, and had talked to Nick about that prior to this meeting. At the rear building, we're also in agreement with the staff report.
Committee, do you have any questions for the applicant, for the staff about these proposals?
No, that makes sense.
Thanks for being so organized. And thanks to the staff for covering everything. Is there any public comment on the proposal for 908 St. Peter Street? Seeing no public comment. Is there any... I'd just like to say that... I'd like to ask, rather than say. The smooth, finished stucco, is there any evidence that there was an additional stucco coat put over an original stucco, or was the brick exposed originally and then stuccoed with this rough texture? Do you have any way of knowing?
There's no way of knowing. We did a little bit of exploratory, but we can't tell from either way. The owner would greatly prefer the smooth in terms of maintenance, but again, is not opposed to having the textured stucco.
Do you have a sense of what kind of stucco it is? Is it like a Portland cement-based stucco or something?
It's been patched and repaired over the years. This building has significant damage, and it looks like it has been replaced over time.
It's showing up in the historical photograph.
It's showing up. As is the neighbor building, and we think it was added at some point, but we just
it's been a very long time.
We pointed that out to the owner as well. In looking that these are sister buildings, again, there's really no objection if we want to keep this.
And I'd be concerned about damaging the bricks underneath, removing the rough. If it was Portland based stucco.
Yeah, I will say this building is in. As I think Nick saw when he walked it prior to purchase of this, we have significant damage throughout the property. So,
great. Did I ask for public comment yet? Yes, I did. Okay. is there a motion in the matter of 908 St. Peter Street?
Yes, in the matter of 908 St. Peter, I move for conceptual approval of the proposal with the exception of the removal of the textured stucco and with the applicant to work with staff regarding details of handrails and rear building mechanical equipment incorporating the staff report recommendations.
Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. Thanks for being so organized.
Thank you.
The next item is 638 Dauphine Street. Is there an applicant present for this proposal? Yes or no? Is it?
Did you say 638?
638 Dauphine. There is. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 638 Dauphine is a brown-rated building. Does they propose to remove the existing port railing and to install new full-height metal bars and gate? Fabrication materials received March 6, 2023. The motivation behind this proposal is to better secure the existing port space from unwelcome visitors. Similar proposals were made in 2019 and 2020 and were ultimately deferred. At the last time a similar proposal was heard in 2020, staff noted that a photograph from the 1950s or earlier shows that this was once a screened porch. Although atypical for the district, the screened porch is not atypical for the building type and would provide a viable solution to the problems faced by the applicant and one that is based in historic precedence. The committee conceptually approved the installation of the screened porch, but this direction was not pursued. The applicant has submitted a new application for the installation of 82-inch high simple metal bars with a matching metal gate in the opening. The applicant also shared a recent photograph and an example of the problems that are still happening in this porch area. The property currently features a temporary gate, security cameras, and posted notices. The applicant has indicated that vagrants continue to be an ongoing problem. Staff suspects that this building's fairly unique architecture to the array likely contributes to this problem, as few other buildings have this kind of semi-enclosed but still accessible type of entry space. Although unfortunate that such fortification is needed, the guidelines do not disallow this kind of modification. The guidelines state that an exterior metal grill is only permitted at a doorway with an exterior vestibule at least 18 inches in depth. As this is a brown-rated building and the proposed work could easily be reversible, staff finds proposal potentially approvable, but request commentary from the committee regarding the proposal.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Shelley Wagasbach, 636-638 Dauphine Street.
So you live here?
I'm sorry?
You live in the building?
Part-time.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report that you'd like to share?
I have a presentation.
Any response to the staff report?
Response to the staff report?
Yes. I mean, they offered the idea of the screened-in porch, which the committee had endorsed previously. You're coming back kind of with this the same proposal again. So I'm wondering if there's some thinking that you have that might change our opinion about that proposal.
Well, we did discuss a screened porch, but honestly, the screened porch would just get busted in, and they're going to get in no matter what, I'm afraid. So I just feel like it's going to be a fruitless effort on our part because they're ultimately going to rush through it.
You know, there are ways to detail screen to make it pretty impossible to get through. I mean, that's not necessarily an entry level objection to make that solution not work. So it's just the way you install the screen that may have a direct impact on whether somebody can break through it or not.
Okay, these people are pretty aggressive.
So. I appreciate that. Committee, any questions for the applicant about proposal for 638 Dauphine Street?
Looks like right now folks are hopping over the rail.
Yes. And there's a solid iron rail on either side of the steps, but we put in a temporary clamped gate with a padlock, and he just continues to jump over it. Right next to me. Mm-hmm. So they've done everything from the smoke. I don't need to list everything that they probably do on this porch to y'all, because I'm sure you know. But I'm concerned about my safety, because this last guy right here got into a heated discussion, we'll say, with me. And I was really concerned that he was going to pull either a knife or a gun at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Not a good way to wake up.
No.
Half a block down from here is the shelter of the church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this corner's pretty rough, to say the least.
Do we have any public comment on the proposal for 630-638? Do you have a sheet? Do you have a little piece of paper?
Yeah.
Okay. Always good to file those in advance so I know that
it's just a thought, actually. Since it's kind of
you like Spanish, to state your name?
Nikki Savinsky, 1011 St. Philip. Since it's a Spanish-y style building, what about a gate with, like, you know, some Spanish flourish?
Well, we typically not want to do something that has a decorative motif that would imply false history. Something that would be simplified would be more appropriate as the guidelines.
And some really sharp spikes.
Okay. So, committee, this is going to take some good thinking. Any questions or comments for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I mean, my preference is certainly for the screen, and there was part of me that wanted to maybe make the comparison between jumping a fence and actively slitting open a screen fence being kind of different, but I'm happy to take into account the conversation today.
I appreciate that the applicant is looking to implement a solution that will surely fix the problem, knowing that I guess maybe a screen is not as robust as iron or steel jail bars. But perhaps if we were to entertain doing a metal fence kind of thing in this opening, maybe we could do something that's a little more attractive than just vertical pickets.
Well, I went with the vertical because I thought simpler was better. I mean, I can do anything. I was just under the impression that straighter lines and simpler the better, like design or anything like that.
What's the spacing proposed? What's the spacing proposed on the gate of the vertical elements?
Let me see.
Like, is it the same as the handrail that's currently on here, or is it?
It can be whatever regulation, as long as they can't fit through it. But it can be what's there now. I guess that's probably about a 5-inch space. Just to
the building could require the
circle. Well, for the guardrail height, so right. It would be a maximum of 4 inches on the center. So for the staff, what kind of precedent do we have for enclosing a porch like this?
Well, we don't have a whole lot of examples of this kind of situation in the district.
Right.
So it is a little bit of an outlier, and that was why we talked about this a bit at the staff level about what would be appropriate. Is this setting a precedent? But we did all agree that because it's something that is removable, that it would not damage the building should it be removed. And this security situation is a serious one in this sort of unusual floor plan that we were more supportive of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
We've had alcove situations, but never, we don't have, this doesn't really happen.
What would the staff think about the idea of using the enclosure shown in the circa 1950 photograph for the screen as a point of departure for developing the details for the more of a bar enclosure? And the reason I ask that is that there's just a little bit more detail in the screened enclosure than is present in the bars. I mean, I think if you actually wanted to, you could screen this porch perfectly well and prevent somebody getting through the screen. That's just a matter of material and detailing. But that also requires some design work and some actual fabrication imagination. And right now we're looking at a very simple drawing, which doesn't really convey much in the way of anything except for the idea that you want bars across here. So what does the staff think about using some of the
kind of... To be honest, I can't really see it very well.
It is, if you looked at it on a smaller screen, you actually see that there's quite a bit of
detail.
And also in the transom above, there's kind of a starburst in it. And some dimension to the different members, which might start to feel a little bit more intentional rather than just a row of iron pickets.
Right, we could absolutely work with the applicant to do that. Mm-hmm.
So we're leaning towards the screen?
Well, it's more taking direction from the detailing. Not necessarily a screen situation, but just something that has a little bit more design intent. We can, sort of towards what was there before. To be a little bit more complex.
So not just the bars. Something based on the bottom half of that photo, which we can't see, has some design in it. So not just straight pickets.
Does that seem like
I'm just afraid to be a screen around?
It won't be a screen. It'll be bars.
Okay.
Based
it's
on the design
that
detail.
There before,
that's there before. It's just not going to be straight bars.
Especially because we're
so
Well, you're going to get a motion from us,
okay.
And it might the motion might suggest you work with the staff to finalize details. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to ask for a motion. If there's no other discussion, is there a motion in the matter of 638 Dauphine Street?
Before I make a motion, I just want to ask the staff if y'all are comfortable working out the details of this, or do you want it to come back to us?
No, absolutely, we can work it out.
Okay. All right, well then, in that case, in the matter of 638 Dauphine, I move to conceptually approve the installation of an enclosure at these openings with the applicant to work with the staff on final details, which may include a metal framework.
Thank you. Do we have a second for that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. You get to work with the staff. You only have to come back here if you aren't successful.
Well, let's hope we're successful.
I hope you are too as well. Thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Next matter is 1 French Market Place. Do we have an applicant present for that proposal? Could we have a staff report for 1 French Market Place, please?
1 French Market. It's also 1100 Decatur Street. This is a green-rated building.
Does a propose to repair masonry, including installation of new helical tie that masonry cracks? Fabrication materials received March 14th, 2023. The campus cited the cracks in the stucco of this building dating back to 2019. A permit was issued in March 2022 to make some stucco repairs, but noted that repairs to the parapet were to be permitted separately. Another application was filed in May 2022 to repair the stucco, but it was not issued as staff needed additional information. This new application now proposes to utilize helical ties in three different areas of the building, showing some significant cracking. The applicant submitted annotated photographs calling for the installation of helical ties at two locations at the Ursuline elevation and one location on the Governor Nichols elevation. Besides the annotated photographs, only generic information about the helical ties was submitted. Although the use of helical ties in the mortar joints may be approvable, there is no indication that in this instance the ties would address the problem. Staff also questioned if there may be a larger issue for this building and recommends an engineer's report be obtained regarding the overall condition of the structure. Looking at older photographs of the building, it appears that on the Governor Nichols elevation, that there was no crack in this location in 2011. On the Ursuline's elevation, one of the current cracks extends down through one of the second floor lintels, possibly compromising the integrity of this building element. The submitted plans do not address this lintel. Staff recommends deferral of the application to allow the applicant time to gather more information regarding the overall building condition.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address, relationship to the property, and any thing you'd like to share with us about this proposal?
Yes, Catherine Harmon, L.K. Harmon Architects, 6238 Argonne, New Orleans. We, regarding that cracked lintel, did not address that because we actually are not aware of what the material of the lintel even is, and the owner of the building is here with me present, and we were just discussing that we're going to have a contractor get a lift and go up there and assess materials and conditions of these various cracks. And also we agree that we need to get an engineer's report. I wanted to come here today and see what the reception on helical ties was, but I also expect the engineer to have input as well on that. So, I think it's wise to defer to let us do this actual field survey up in the air. It was impossible to do it just over the walk by. We're going to try to go to the second floor and look through the window and start there and end up getting a lift.
I just have a question about how you hope to use helical ties in this situation. And you're showing a number of places which are kind of parallel to the wall, but which don't actually have entry points on an opposing wall. The details that you have in your manufacturer's material suggest that these ties are to basically tie a veneer back to a masonry substrate. So I'm just wondering how you intended to install these ties.
Well, that cut sheet, if you will, has a lot of different pieces to it.
Right.
The type that I would like to use, which I'm not sure is pictured there.
I don't think so.
The kind that is a rod, and it's applied into a mortar joint, a horizontal mortar joint. And it is not to veneer to a structural wall. It's structural masonry and all, but I see where I see what you're talking about. Perhaps this is not the right generic sheet. But I was really looking more for a conceptual feedback on the use of the cars.
Great. Let's see what the committee has to say.
Historically, the kind of feedback that's been given on helical ties has to do with a concern overall that if the overall kind of holistic structure and conditions of the building aren't looked at, that it might just be pushing the problem off to a different section. So I think that your agreement and decision to have not only a closer look with a lift, but also an engineer come on board and look at the structure is really great. And I would just emphasize that I think the structural engineer coming on board would be really useful for not just how to fix that crack, but just maybe try and assess what's going on to see if that's the kind of only approach that could be taken or if that's going to cause problems down the line.
And I do notice there's already been ties put in, with the plates, and that's already been done. Historically, you can see the plates with the ties for the entire wall. So
but does that sound accurate or inaccurate? Hopefully
Right. Any other discussion? I could ask for any public comment while we're thinking about this. Any public comment on One Frenchman, French Marketplace? Seeing no public comment.
You want me to speak?
Only if you filed a little card. Is there a card?
Over the window, I would wonder, that window looks like it doesn't have a solid here.
Well, and I think that's probably a good observation. There's a couple different conditions that you might be addressing here, and the way you address them might be different, but I'm sure your engineer will have some insight into that.
Yeah.
But thank you for that comment. Okay. Any further discussion? The applicant has requested a deferral so she can do some more investigation. Do I have a motion in the matter?
I'd just like to note before we make a motion that in the past, often we've talked about helical ties in regard to how they may damage existing masonry and historic elements. But I think that what's proposed here is probably a more careful use of helical ties that certainly would not damage the bricks and just slides real neatly into the mortar. So I don't see why we would object to that if that's what ultimately is the solution.
Good observation. Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion? Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of One French Marketplace?
Yes, I'd like to move toward deferral to allow the applicant time to gather more information regarding the overall building condition, including up-close inspection and bringing a structural engineer into the team to assess and give their survey of the conditions.
Would you mind adding that the structural engineer would appear for the committee with their proposal?
And we would like the structural engineer to be able to be present to speak at this proposal.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
Yes, I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion to defer passes. Thank you so much. The next item is 620 Charter Street. Do we have an applicant present? Looks like we might. Okay, do we have a staff report, please?
Yes, 618 through 24 Charters is a green-rated building. This is proposed to install new copper cap flashing on a parapet wall. Preparation materials received March 7, 2023. Staff recently issued a permit for various roof and flashing repairs to this building, noting that cap flashing shown on the plans would need to be reviewed and permitted separately. The applicant proposed to install cap flashing on one of the walls of the Decatur side of the property. The applicant emailed staff noting that the top of this parapet varies from only a few inches to almost nothing from the plane of the roofing, making side flashing less than effective. Also, the top of the parapet has deteriorated pretty badly, and there appears to be gaps and openings near the side while flashing. Staff questions if masonry repairs need to be made to the parapet that may eliminate the need for cap flashing and allow for more typical flashing details to be used. Staff requests commentary from our committee regarding the proposal.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Yes,
after
sir.
You told us your name and address in relationship to the property.
My name is Edward Fleming, architect, 3342 Bell Street. I have a verbal presentation.
Great.
Here, and I'll make it as quickly as I can. So the area that you're discussing is shown in that slide there at the southeast section of the building along Wilkinson Road, and there is a gable parapet at that end of the roof that, as Nick mentioned, varies from almost flush with the plane of the roof to a few inches above it. The parapet itself is in poor condition, but it being essentially flush with the roof, unless it were built up, and that's not something we had considered for some reasons I explained in a minute, it just seemed like it would be the best fit to do some kind of very low profile cap that could lock into the sidewall flashing to that roof on both flanks of that gable that you see adjacent to those red lines. That's really has been our thinking, and the intention was to just see what the responses and suggestions would be, and you know, we can detail whatever the ultimate agreed solution is,
but it did seem that this would be the most direct and probably least intrusive approach to solving what's a pretty bad water problem there. They do have a water feature coming down that wall, so they're having rains now.
So I'll just note for the record that the only graphic presentation of this idea is a note on the drawing, so we don't really actually have a sidewall or a cap flashing detail to look at.
I don't have details yet, only because we really didn't know what direction this was going to go in, and we could certainly provide details. My hope is that we could agree on the concept of a cap flash. Masonry restoration concern could cause more problems to that wall, and how that could be anchored safely, especially getting to the height it would need for more conventional sidewall flashing, mm-hmm. would be of concern. And it would also, you know, change the, at least the existing profile of that end wall.
Could you show slide 139 just for future reference? And any questions from the committee?
Oh, I was just wondering if there was clarification. I didn't take the staff report to say that they were suggesting rebuilding that parapet higher. I thought it was a recommendation to inspect or consider that repair of any of the masonry work might be causing to the infiltration of water. I don't think they were saying that. I don't think they were suggesting that the parapet on that side be the masonry work be done to raise the height of it. I think they were saying that the condition of the masonry there might be contributing to the infiltration of water in a way that if it were repaired, the cap flashing might not be as necessary.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Except, again, it comes back to the issue of just the geometry, where there's really nothing to lock into for quite some distances along both sides of that curve. But there's an exterior view, almost not quite from street level, a little bit above street level, looking towards, that one. And that's I think what I said was a pretty high resolution image. If you could zoom in on that end parapet, you can see just how little space there is. So just making the mechanical connection from the end wall flashing to whatever that wall is, it would almost have to be cut in somehow at the top to create a lock, and then we still have exposure on the other side of that.
So can I just ask kind of a process question? The shear wall adjacent to this parapet, is that part of this property, or is that owned by an adjacent?
You mean the white wall?
No. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. the other building.
That's another building, and there's about a 5-foot alley between the two.
Oh.
There's a very skinny alley in between the two.
Yeah.
Oh. I gotcha. So that mastic
right
that we're...
That's the alley on the right, far right of the page.
Huh. So the picture on slide 139 is not the same location. Can we go to 139?
The numbers aren't showing up for us.
Okay, it's...
I think it's from the inside of the courtyard.
From the inside of the courtyard. Okay. So it's the one, it's the slide just before the drawings.
I think it's looking like this.
That's the...
Yeah, that one. So is that, the white wall is not...
No.
So it's not...
They don't interface. No, there's distance between the two.
So that black stuff is what?
That's the
mortar.
Top of the parapet.
Really?
Brick and mortar.
Yeah, boy, it's a mess.
Yeah, it's kind of rotten. And I think it looks like the top of that brick wall was parched over the years and then reparched, and it's crumbling. And you can actually, at least from my point of view, the resolution isn't so great from here, but having looked at it as long as I have, when you get to the top of what is probably only about a 3-inch high sidewall counterflashing, you're almost at the top of the parapet. And so what's happening is there's spalling and separation of the junction between the metal and the masonry, and it's opened up in a number of places. So just trying to visualize how to connect a more conventional sidewall flashing, there's just no meat there, for lack of a better expression, to do that. But anyway, that was what's behind the logic of creating just a very low-profile cap flash there to lock it all together. And I realize that runs counter to, you know, the traditional approach to this.
So do we have any I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, before we got into more extensive time-consuming detailing, it just seemed like maybe we could brainstorm this and up with an agreement.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this proposal for 620 Charter Street? I see no public comment. Committee, any final questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I think that in the past, a parapet this low would be one that is a starting point for at least considering a proposal of a cap flashing. I am concerned, I think it's already been raised, about the detailing of it because of that being particularly tricky because of what you're working with here anyway, and whether or not the cap flashing can be installed in such a way that, you know, the counter flashing and, you know, everything is tight. So I think that is pretty critical to the proposal, only because we have to make sure that, you know, it's going to actually work in this location, or if, you know, we have to get more creative with how it's addressed.
Question, have you been able to observe that masonry wall from inside the building? And can you comment on the condition of it? Is it being repaired up to the structure of the roof?
The masonry wall is plastered on the interior. And there's a ceiling, a flat ceiling at the second floor, really at the bottom of the attic framing. But there is regular, it's almost a water feature, and I don't really make a joke, but it's what people who work there refer to it. There's almost a waterfall coming down there, which indicates to me that there's just a lot of gapping between what is passing through the roof flashing down that parapet. And you can see, I haven't actually witnessed that myself, but you can see in a number of areas where paint is, you know, got water behind it and is bubbling out. So, but I don't think there's been any effort made for a very long time to do any repair work to that wall, either on the outside or the interior. So,
okay.
It's unfortunately just continues to deteriorate over time. And my clients, who are not the building owners but the tenants, have taken it upon themselves to repair this roof at really pretty significant expense. And, you know, they want to do it right, but at the same time, they have a limited lease for the property. And, they have the lease for, they have whatever they do, they pay for it. So they I think, had been hoping that the landlord would take the initiative to do something as fundamental as this, but apparently they're not. I can't speak in any great detail to that, but it is a bit of a dilemma for my clients who are running a very popular restaurant here. Want to stop the water features as quickly as possible. So,
thank you.
But my thought was there is some, the parapet is not a perfectly straight line. It does have some wiggle to it, but I just conceptually think that if we were to be able to do some cap flashing, what would be visible from the public right-of-way would be a limited band back inside the alley from the opposite side of where this photograph is taken.
Right.
So I don't mean to diminish the importance of it, but it's still a relatively limited view. It's not like it's right on Charter Street or making a significant presentation. So my thought was that even allowing for some movement across the plane of that parapet, that we could strive to create just as narrow a profile as possible of the vertical trim that could then lock back into the wall and make it tight, but still have a narrow presentation to the exterior. And then on the opposite, on the roof side, it could just do a more conventional metal lock-in between itself and the side flashing.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, this is as much a visual question as a preservation issue. It's as much a preservation issue as it is a visual issue. You know, like, you know, how do you treat these parapets? But I appreciate your point. You've had a good long statement. Is it time for a motion?
Yeah.
In this matter? Okay.
I have a motion in the matter of 620 charters, noting the this parapet is very low in height and will not be all that visible from most angles. I move to conceptually approve the installation of cap flashing at this parapet with final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I'm not sure if we wanted to
see it again.
Take a look.
If you'd like to see it again.
You can always amend the motion.
Would you be open to amending the motion that if the detailing of the cap flashing that's submitted to staff requires additional review, that it would come back at their discretion?
Of course.
Then with that amendment, I'd like to second the motion.
The motion for 620 Charter Street has been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 The motion passes. You have a way forward for this.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
So we'll work out the details with
the staff. And thanks for your thoughtful approach to this.
Oh, thank you all very much, too.
Okay. We're going to move on to appeals and violations and ask if there's anybody present for 1006 Dauphine Street.
1008.
1008. Dauphine Street. Come. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 1008 Dauphine is a green-rated main building and kitchen with a ground-rated connecting structure and rear addition. This is a review of millwork submittal for ongoing renovation for application and materials received December 8th, 2020 and March 14th, 2023, respectively. The applicant has returned with revised drawings of the frieze bands, frieze window details, and window trim. The topmost band in the frieze is still shown as 2 3/8 inches deep. The bottom band has been revised to show a stepped series of layered trim instead of a curved profile. The applicant submitted a 1991 photo of the building stating, quote, this image shows square slash step trim at the bottom of the frieze band, which we believe is closer to the historic condition. While step bands are not uncommon, it is staff's opinion that this image is too pixelated to read clearly, as there's no evidence that the previously existing frieze band had ever been modified or replaced. However, a stepped lower band may be an appropriately abstracted compromise, since the previous conditions cannot be replicated with certainty. Head, jamb, and sill details have been provided for the newly installed frieze windows, which do not match historic conditions. During shop drawing review, staff noted that the frieze windows shown did match those at the back of the main building, but those at the front were different. It was noted on the drawings, permit, and email to the contractor that the front windows should not be installed with the same detailing, as the reveals were very different between the front and the back. They were installed to match the back windows, and staff does not find their retention as is to be approvable. The revised window details, including the brick mold between the wall and jamb, appear to match previous conditions. The applicant stated that the lintel trim profile is taken from similar historic building. Staff finds these details appropriate. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee regarding the replacement millwork and whether the bottom frieze band should be matched to the photo, or if an abstracted, simplified bottom frieze band as proposed should be installed.
Thank you. There's a lot of you. So state your names, addresses, and relations to the project, please.
Colin Chaloy, project manager, Orchard Garrison Builders, 1222 Annunciation.
Joey Carlson, architect, 44 Chateau Charnel, Buchanan.
Owen Krasnow, 4J Street, owner.
Great. Thank you. Do you have a presentation or a response to staff report that you'd like to share with us?
We've been working with Aaron to try to figure out the trim profiles for the frieze banding, and we got a historical preservations consultant to help us figure it out as well too. And that's how we kind of came up with the bottom trim as a step condition, and then the top trim piece has a little sweep trim to it. And we were wondering your thoughts on that, if it's acceptable.
Thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant, owner, or project manager, or the staff? Well, we're thinking about that. We have a comment card from Nikki Zielinski.
I'll pass. I just don't want what's there.
Okay. There you go.
It's like plastic.
Then any questions for the applicant by the committee or comments on the proposal?
I mean, what do y'all think of the proposed trim at the freeze windows? That seems to be one of the biggest problems. It's trying to replicate that.
So for this, I think there's probably a couple of different things to think about here. So for the staff, are you satisfied that the scale of this trim is adequate or similar to historic photographs? I mean, it says scaled from photograph, and I don't have any way of...
It's very difficult to say. I know that last time we reviewed this, we discussed doing a mock-up, and I still think that that would be what would make me feel the most comfortable with, you know, seeing it in situ to kind of establish whether or not the scale of it and the proportion of it meet what was previously there.
Would you be able to do that?
To get the scale, it was basically a photo of before the trim was taken off the building and scaling the photo in AutoCAD and doing it that way and also working off of other precedents with the historical preservationist.
So you use other examples that are present in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and especially for that trim, actually for all of the trim.
Any particular buildings that you looked at?
For the freeze trim, we looked at 18 Esplanade. They're all drawings. And then the Julia Row. Yeah, all of those. And that was just for the upper freeze band trim. I mean, I looked at quite a few, and I was trying to find an exact replica, but it was very, very hard because all the similar ones have the top trim projects past the face of the building, so it's a completely different situation.
Okay. Committee, any questions for the applicant or comments on the proposal? I'm just looking at 810 Esplanade just to see what it looks like. Oh. That might not be your best example. I mean, 810 Esplanade looks like it's pretty thoroughly hacked.
There's one on Decatur.
And there's a number of buildings.
Block of Decatur.
Yeah, there's one
that,
in...
But that building, it was completely gutted, like, in the 80s and 90s. I think in the 80s. So that was, like, the best example I could find of that freeze trim.
You just got to give me a chance to push some buttons here.
address?
Yeah, please.
Brian, what about those buildings on Dumaine in the 900 block?
I suggested those as well, and they're different enough
and
that
then
they're
the
not really.
And the other one would be the one next to what we would call the gold mine.
I lived in those as well. Okay. They're pretty different. Yeah, I kind of walked through Google Maps, and it's pretty different.
I think you do have an example at 9/11. Yeah, that's pretty altered too. Huh. Committee, what do you want to do? I mean, the mock-up. Can you do a mock-up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That might be the way forward.
We just want to have something to base it off of, like.
Well, I mean, you would have your drawings.
Yeah.
I mean, mock up what you've proposed, and we could take a look at it.
We have another meeting in 2 weeks, so it would be not much of a delay.
You're talking about mock up a section, maybe like a 1-foot-wide section.
Yeah, something
of a 1-to-1 scale, and then.
That shows the edge of the window returning to the brick face, more or less. You know, the left portion of what's shown in the Exxon here, so we'd see how. The detailing return to the building.
We can do it a mock up based on those trim profiles.
Yeah. I think that'd be. For the owner, is this a reasonable thing to do? Would that be a reasonable thing for us to suggest, in your opinion?
Well, we would like to proceed with the project, but. We'll comply with, obviously,
what you guys. So, I think the thing that's holding me up is, I read this as a stucco detail in the original configuration, not a wood detail. Am I incorrect? No, I'm incorrect.
It looks like wood in all of these old photos.
There's another, and most of them are wood, yeah. There's another one that
really?
You can kind of see it more from below, where it was like separating.
Okay.
And you don't have that one there, but you can kind of see it as light, basically, the extended trim of those attic windows.
Mm-hmm. It's just hard to defend that location.
So
I think it's a string course. It's supposed to.
Was going over this wood.
Well, this was really
it could look like it's a stock wood.
I just don't see. I just don't see how it actually sheds water that well. Because you're just counting on a little caulk joint right there. Okay, committee, is there a motion in the matter of 1006 Dauphine Street?
Eight
Dauphine Street. Whose turn is it? Okay, good luck.
I just keep thinking that the reason there's no big matches is because
they're all gone.
Well, the ones that show a further projection are probably closer to what was originally there.
I think so.
Yeah. So I think that maybe a concern is that all the other examples that are shown have more of a projection on the top trim piece.
Every single one I've come across, except the one on Decatur, but it still had a different profile.
Yeah.
So.
And my thought is that's because that was the more, that was probably the original condition because of the fact that it would have shed water, and then maybe when they.
I've got a photo from like 1910 that shows, it has no projection, it just shows exactly. It's from it was a picture taken of the property next door, and it's on an angle, and it shows this building and the trim. It was always, there was no projection outward. It was similar to this. So. It's on the BCC's website. You got to go to the property to the left. And there's a photo of that property and it's showing our building next to it. I think it was like 1910. Yeah.
And is this based off of that photo?
Yes, that and all the
way. And do we have to address any of the other moves?
No.
Okay.
Let's have motion.
Yeah. In a matter of 1008-1010 Dolphin, I move to defer to allow the applicant a chance to provide a mock-up of the proposed Newark at the attic window surrounds for final determination.
Do I have a second for that motion?
Yes, I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. The staff will let us know when the mock-up is up, and we can all go by and take a look at it. So.
Okay, we can mock it up on the building.
Mm-hmm. Meeting, next meeting is April 11th, so it's pretty quick
turnaround. Okay. Yeah, and just let me know when it's up.
And in this case, can we waive the two-week?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Is there any way, we don't have electricity in the building now because of this violation, and we were wondering if we could get it back to, we have a floor installed and it's starting getting hot and it's buckling.
The software corner only applies to the front of the building, so you can proceed with the rest of the work. It's just no more work on the door.
Electricity, because
if you give me a call, we can talk about that offline, but we can work on that.
We wouldn't really be able to do anything about that here. Okay, the next matter is 628 Esplanade Avenue. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Okay. Can we have staff report, please?
Sure. 628 Esplanade is a green-rated building. Do they propose to retain relocated pool equipment structure and courtyard paving, complete without benefit of ECC review or approval? Application materials received August 19th, 2021 and March 20th, 2023, respectively. An application was filed in 2021 to address an issue of a small pool equipment structure encroaching on the neighboring property. That application was on the agenda at the September 28th, 2021 meeting, but was deferred as there was no one present on behalf of the application. Staff later found that the structure had been relocated and previously existing planning beds had been removed. Staff finds the existing equipment structure compatible with the guidelines and has no objection to this new location for the shed. Staff has some concerns regarding the removal of the planting beds and the installation of additional courtyard paving. The guidelines recommend minimizing the amount of paving on the site, and staff questions if any work was done to accommodate the additional drainage requirements of having less permeability in the courtyard. Still, the previously existing planter was built right against the neighboring mainstream wall and was slightly raised, which removal should be better for the long-term preservation of that wall. Staff recommends approval of the retention of the work completed with that permit, with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
My name is John Andrews, 4317 Dauphine Street. I'm the contractor for Joel Lyons for 628 Esplanade Avenue.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
No. I don't have any presentation except for the one photo I submitted. To touch on the brick patio, when we removed the planter, which was causing moisture issues with the 622 property, a lot of spalling on the brick, mildew issues within the neighboring property. We sloped the brick towards the existing subsurface drainage, which was already there, so that way any rainwater would go, down the subsurface.
Great, thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal? Hearing none, do we have any public comment? I have no comment cards. Is it time for a motion in the matter of 628 Esplanade?
Sure. In the matter of 628 Esplanade, I move to approve retention of the work completed without permits with any final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
Seconded.
Motion is made and seconded. Do I have all in favor say aye?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. Appreciate it. Next item is 410 Bourbon Street. Do you have an applicant present? We do. Could we have the staff report, please?
Okay. Sure. Bourbon is a green-rated main building and service building. This is a proposal to install a balcony rail extension in conjunction with work correct demolition by neglect violations. Her application and materials received December 5th, 2021 and March 14th, 2023, respectively. On July 6th, staff issued a permit to address many of the violations of this property. Work began, but was not completed by the time the permit expired, so renewal is required. Several other violations, most of which can be handled at staff level, have been added to the scope of work, so all outstanding violations can be addressed. And the applicant is now proposing to install a rail extension at the second floor balcony, which requires committee review. This building is green rated, having received alterations that lowered its rating when compared to its blue rated twin at 416 Bourbon. The cast iron rail is identical at both properties, but they are not under common ownership. Staff notes that whatever rail extension is approved here is likely to influence an eventual rail extension at 416. Five vertical posts that were installed without permit behind the resort cast iron rail will be removed. The applicant proposes to install a continuous steel top rail at 42 inches high with 3/4 by 1 1/4 inch flat bar vertical supports to be installed at 6 feet on center behind existing vertical supports. A 1/4 by 1 1/2 inch flat bar is shown welded behind the historic top rail with a 1/4 inch diameter wire steel mesh in 3 by 3 squares installed behind. The new rail is shown supported by a 1/4 by 1 1/4 flat bar fastened to the existing sleeper with screws at 16 inches on center. Staff is not aware of any approvals or installations involving use of a steel mesh behind a historic iron rail. If this rail meets code requirements, if the historic rail meets code requirements that a 4-inch sphere cannot pass through it, then only simple verticals and a top rail should be necessary. Staff notes that this method of attachment is not supported by the outriggers, but bears on a wooden stringer above the outriggers. The dimension between the historic top rail and the proposed new rail is not indicated, but appears to be 5 to 6 inches, not meeting the 4-inch diameter sphere maximum. If the rail does not meet code requirements and a 4-inch sphere can pass through, alternatives may need to be considered that do not detract from the cast iron rail, which is a significant architectural feature. Staff recommends deferral of the rail extension. The existing second floor door at the rear of the property is not historic and has significantly deteriorated, requiring replacement. An infilled header above the door will be removed, restoring the opening to its original height. A single light transom will be installed with 8-light single panel French doors below. Staff finds this conceptually approvable with minor revisions to be made at staff level. An HVAC unit installed over the side alleyway was originally proposed to be relocated but was not moved and is now shown in this location on the drawings. A note states part of the adjacent property, but the drain lines appear to serve 410 Bourbon. Staff requests clarification from the applicant.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the property and make a presentation or response to staff report?
Catherine Harmon, LK Harmon Architects, 6238 Armand Boulevard, New Orleans. Architect. First of all, we'll start with the railing extension. Unfortunately, the existing cast iron historic rail is not code compliant, i.e., a 4-inch sphere can pass through it, I mean, only like 1/4 inch out of compliance, but unfortunately, that is the fact. So that's why we came up with the mesh that was not trying to compete with the historic rail, more of a contemporary approach, rather than applying something directly to it. You know, we offset it. And then your comment, Aaron, about the top part being 4-inch sphere passing through. I believe the IBC in the life safety code do not require that 4-inch rule above 6 inches. So that's why we, and plus we don't want to see that grid. We can you know, want to minimize it. And it is a very thin wire, only 1/4 inch. And I'm not applying it directly to the cast iron. We came up with a way to offset it. And I would probably want to paint it black.
No, building color.
I'm sorry?
Building color.
Building
okay,
color.
Well, that makes more sense. Yes, all right.
Because it washes it out.
Right, that's true, yeah. You're right.
Sorry.
No, that's true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so we really worked hard to try to not mess with the existing historic railing and just kind of make it safe.
Frankly, I would paint the entire, if it's not attached to the historic rail, I would paint the whole thing building color.
Oh, okay.
Had better results with that.
Okay, do we have any public comment on this proposal before we start discussing? Seeing none. So Just before we get into this, did you consider going to the BBSA and asking for a waiver since the tolerance is so close to the 4-inch requirement?
We didn't. It'd
be a lot less work. It would be a lot less work.
Well, it would, but then there's, you know, bar around reliability.
How many 4-inch diameter heads are going to be up on that balcony? A bar.
On that balcony? I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Look at something that would add the additional height, but then not have that grid
right
for the 4-inch spear.
Oh, yeah.
The 4-inch spear is no clearer than the...
No, that was specifically what I was referring to. I think that would probably be the least energetic way to address this, because the detail for the topping rail pretty much conforms to...
I mean, we could just eliminate the grid and everything else.
Yeah.
The same if we did win at BBSA. Now, the owner has fines looming, you know, from the adjudication.
Okay, so...
So I'm sure they'd want that to be...
I think the rail needs to be separated out as its own application,
okay.
So that because it's really not related to the violations, we want that violation fees to be, or we want that permit be reissued so that work can begin again. So I don't want to see the violations in any way held up by extended review of this. So if you can submit a new application for renovation non-structural, we can handle
or
the
just
rail
just
under
the
that.
Okay.
Just the rail, and then we let the violations move on.
What about glass? Or we did that on North Rampart.
Our preference would be for a waiver if the BBSA can allow it.
So y'all would support the waiver, like you would write a letter or whatever? Support the waiver. Okay, that would
sometimes
help.
They don't ask us, but
yes. I would like to have a letter to put in my package. Let's talk about that ACN. Which one are you talking about?
I'm
not sure which AC. The one you said
that
was something.
What?
Is a quarter inch as small as they? I mean, they make smaller wire mesh, right? Quarter inch seems kind of big.
Yeah, it does.
But maybe we'll have that.
We don't have to worry about it. There's
so many
ACs.
Yeah.
So there are
three up there that remain. The permitted materials allow two to remain. There's three up there, and it has a drain line that looks like it's coming down and serving 410, but the label says it's for the adjacent property. So if it's serving 410, we would like it to go underneath if there's room.
I thought we addressed that. That's too small for me to see.
I know it was talked about at the last adjudication hearing.
Yeah, I thought we hid it behind the it is for 410.
Then it needs to be relocated because it's shown on that raised platform that's over the alley.
Is there any public comment on the proposal for 410? No, I'm on the wrong property. 410 Bourbon Street. See no public comment. Committee, any further discussion? We have a door, HVAC equipment, and the railing to consider. You might want to make two motions, one to address the rail and the other to address the HVAC and door. I'm sorry?
We just talked about the HVAC one.
I know. Yeah.
In that instance, in the matter of 410 Bourbon Street, I'd like to make two motions, one for conceptual approval for the proposed work. The existing second floor door at the rear of the property, and a request for the clarification on the HVAC equipment in writing, so that we do need it stated in some sort of record. And then a deferral on the matter regarding the front rail balcony railing with a strong support of the request for a waiver from the BBSA to allow the existing railing to meet the 4-inch sphere requirements based off of its very close proximity to those dimensions and to allow only the top rail to be required to be installed.
Thank you. So that's two motions.
Yeah.
Okay, so do I have a second for the first motion regarding the clarification of the HVAC equipment and conceptual approval of the door.
Yes, I second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 That motion passes. Then do I have a second for the motion regarding the deferral on the rail detail?
Yes, I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Both motions pass. Thanks for coming in. Good luck with the BBSA.
I'm next.
Oh, you are? So you're just going to sit there. Okay. So 810 Bourbon Street. Do we have a staff report,
thanks,
please?
Thanks for that.
Sure. 80810 Bourbon is a green-rated main building and service building. Is it proposed to infill two existing windows located in the party wall shared with 731 37 St. Anne Street? Clarification materials received March 15th and March 23rd, respectively. Staff received information about a citizen concern that the windows in their apartment were being bricked in and received photographs showing work underway. Staff inspected the property on March 20th and posted a stop work order, although it did not appear any work was taking place at the time of the inspection. This property recently completed a rather extensive renovation, but no work was noted along this wall or these windows as part of that scope of work. The applicant also submitted a survey, although it dates to 1950, which appears to show that the first 3 inches of the wall falls on the 810 Bourbon Street property. It is this 3 inches of ownership that the applicant is using in order to block the existing windows. The applicant wants to remove all visibility of the 810 courtyard from these windows. The applicant has submitted 3 options to cover up the windows. The first option would be to infill the opening with bricks. These are shown as not being too thin and protruding from the opening to clearly show the location of the window. The bricks also protrude because there's not enough property, according to the survey, to install a full width of brick. The second option would be to install fixed closed louvered shutters, known as having a solid backing. The third option shows infilling the opening with vertical tongue and groove boards. Staff researched the history of these windows and noted that at least the second floor window appears to be notated on the Sanborn map dated from 1896. It is unclear when the first floor window was installed, but both the window and brickwork appear to be appropriately detailed. The guidelines state that the modification or addition of a window or door opening is discouraged, particularly on a more prominent building facade. This includes the infill of all or part of that opening to make it smaller or to remove it. Based off of these guidelines and the fact that the windows appear to be historically significant and not recent additions, staff finds the proposed infilling of the openings in brick to be inappropriate and unapprovable. Staff finds the proposed wood infill options moving in the direction of something that may be approvable. Both options 2 and 3 are similar to shutters, but both are noted as being fixed closed, and the louvered shutters noted as having a solid backing. The guidelines state that the DCC requires installing shutters that are operable with the ability to open, and also the DCC does not allow installing a fixed shutter. Staff believes there may be additional civil issues between the two sides of the party wall regarding closing off the windows, but architecturally finds that a proposal that included an operable shutter may be the most appropriate from a DCC standpoint, while still accomplishing the goal of the applicant. Staff consulted with a plans examiner from the building department, who stated that they would not have a requirement either way. The windows can stay as they are, or they can be removed. Staff requested the applicant submit an updated survey that collaborates or refutes the one from nearly 75 years ago regarding the exact location of the property line and the wall, as well as examine the existing windows for any evidence of previously existing shutters. Staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the concept and proposals and suggests that a proposal for operable shutters may be more appropriate for a future submission.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name again and address and relationship to the property?
Catherine Harmon, L.K. Harmon Architect, 6238 Argonne Boulevard, New Orleans. Architect.
And just presentation?
3 quick things. The owner has agreed to get an updated survey. It's actually been ordered to see if that 3 inches is really still true. And second of all, he's agreed to make the shutters operable. He's got no problem with that. And thirdly, I got involved with this particular issue, although I was the architect for the renovation project, after the stop work order occurred when the bricks were being installed, just an FYI.
Thank you for that. I noticed we have Erin Holmes. Would like to make a statement?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Erin Holmes. I'm with B64. I just think that this is an extremely questionable practice, especially since the work has already begun. The property owner intends to permanently obscure the windows of an adjacent owner, thus denying the occupant of natural light and ventilation. I'm not sure if there's a precedent for this in the VCC in the neighborhood. You know, I think that simply wanting to block all visibility into your property is not enough. This is a very dense urban environment. It's not really reasonable to assume that you can completely block all visibility from your surrounding neighbors. We hope that you will deny the three proposals, and I do appreciate that the architect has come back and said that the owner is interested in making them operable, but for whom? Is it operable on the 810 side or on the side of the neighbor that actually uses the window?
From the neighbors into
okay.
Especially the second floor, we wouldn't get it.
So, you know, if there's like hook and eye, like, you know, what happens after is, you know, a question of who gets to operate these. So it is concerning, and it kind of reminds me of that unneighborly wall that was built on St. Anne that had to be removed later. So we are against this proposal.
Okay, we also have a comment from Nikki Zielinski.
Nikki Zielinski, Town Hall of St. Cloud for Neighbor Citizens. Reiterate what Aaron said. It appears that this window, these windows have been here for a very, very long time, and this is working on someone else's building wall. It's not a party wall unless there's a building attached to it by Louisiana law. A common wall is common to the low, the highest point of the lowest building. There's nothing attached to this, so it's not a party wall. And furthermore, a residential survey is only good for 12 inches anyway. So unless you're going to survey the entire block from something that's been really well surveyed, it's very questionable as to where exactly that line is. Just surveying the two properties is not enough. You've got to survey the whole block from the stable point, Armstrong Park, whatever. It's a terrible precedent, and we shouldn't be messing with historical conditions.
Thank you for both of those comments. Committee, do you have any questions for the applicant or for the staff regarding this, what might be actually an architectural and a civil matter?
We have checked with the legal department, and so we were advised to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we were advised to just review this from an architectural perspective, that it would absolutely be a civil matter.
Okay, great, thank you. Committee, questions, comments, or a motion?
I do have a comment on the architecture. Both wood details, wood and fill details, call for the bars to be removed. But I do feel like those iron bars are likely historic material that if we can not remove them, we probably shouldn't remove them.
Well, it's not important to my client if he doesn't have to look at them. So that would be doable. I think the masonry wall is deep enough.
We'd have to see where those bars were in relation to the wood jam to find out where you were going to actually mount this shutter if it were approved.
Yeah, I've only seen a photograph. I didn't pay attention when I was doing the project to somebody was talking about. But yeah, that could be entertaining.
So, was the adjacent owner notified of this hearing?
Yes.
I mean, not directly. I don't have contact information.
Okay.
I couldn't hear.
If the adjacent owner was aware
of... Does the St. Anne owner knew about this hearing?
They didn't know about this hearing as of today.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the owner or if it's a representative of the owner.
We didn't have that information.
Okay, this is a tough one. Is there any more discussion on the matter of 810 Bourbon Street?
I would like to respond to...
Just a minute. We're just going to have... Oh. And we're going to give you a chance to talk before we do anything else. Yes, any more discussion?
Given that it's also a civil matter, which we do not touch at all on this level or in our position at all, but I would like to say that from at least the architectural standpoint, I do have concern over the bricking in of the windows, and it is honestly a different situation which side that's coming from. I do believe, you know, based off the person who is either who's losing that light and air. In regard to the idea of a shutter, I share concerns with one of the public commenters who was concerned over the operability, who's in charge of that. I mean, if you provided shutters and they were only operable to the person living in that room and they just left it open all the time, like, would that be acceptable? Because that's putting you in the same situation you're in now, kind of. Yeah, it's just, I think architecturally there might be a point made for operable shutters, but nothing else.
Okay. Would you like to have a final statement before we move to motion?
Yes. To Aaron's comment about the depriving of light and air, this is a very narrow service building, detached service building, and so it's one room deep, and the whole other wall stores and windows, so they wouldn't. There wouldn't be.
I value every window I have. And then
my second point is my client, the owner of 810, is, you know, in his mind, you know, to your point, he owns 3 inches of the wall.
But he doesn't.
That's his.
Yeah.
Contention.
Well,
he's not an attorney. I'm not an attorney. You know.
That's why it's a civil matter.
Right. He's prepared for that. He's very committed to this, and he's prepared to. But I advised him that this was the first step. And he started out with just getting a mason and bricking it in, and
yeah, that's
here we are.
So wrong. Amazingly wrong. So what I think that we need... See, I don't think we can even entertain a motion for somebody to act on somebody else's property. And so I think we need some kind of evidence that this is actually belongs, who this wall belongs to, before we could even entertain a motion.
So we have a survey, correct?
Yes, 75-year-old.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah, he's, you know, it's in the
new
in
survey.
The works.
Right.
I would suggest the other property owner get a survey as well.
Right.
Well, or a clarification of what this is, either party wall, common wall, right, or a property line wall. Because we can't entertain a motion for something that is actually on a different property. And it was advertised on this property, which doesn't look like it belongs to this property to me. I suggest a deferral until we're able to clarify this. Can we have a motion, please?
Yes. In the matter of 810 Bourbon, I move to defer this to allow the applicant an opportunity to submit an updated survey, a letter of support from the neighbor, a legal opinion determining the status of the wall, further information on the evidence or non-evidence of shutters in this location, and a revised detail if all of these things indicate that the owner does have the right to infill this opening, a revised detail that shows the existing bars to remain in the openings.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion? Motion is seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. You have some homework to do. Thanks for coming in.
And
I appreciate
I just, for the record, for your client, I'd like to just make a point that the BCC does not regulate privacy reviews. It's not a right. It's a type in urban environment. Most people have views in each other's courtyards, so his situation is not unique.
Thank you for that. We're going to go on to 434 Dauphine Street and ask if there's anybody present. There is. Can we have the staff report, please?
434-36 Dauphine is a green-rated building and service building. Does they propose to retain keypad entry hardware installed at an alleyway gate without benefit of BCC review or approval? Application materials received May 23rd, 2022 and February 28, 2023, respectively. Staff notes that this property currently has a complicated ownership and numerous other violations for working without permits. This applicant owner is attempting to resolve the issue of implemented gate hardware only. The keypad proposed for retention is a Yale Assure lock. This particular model features a flat keypad that only illuminates while the lock is in use. Otherwise, the face of the lock is just a glossy black circle. Similar locks with screens that only illuminate while in use have been approved on a case-by-case basis. Photos of this gate prior to the installation of this lock show that the previous door lock was not of any historic significance. The application of this lock notes that the keyless option was chosen to give workers access to the property without the need for a key. Staff notes the only BCC permits that have been issued for this property in the past 5 years were for repainting the front steps, the installation of security cameras, and minor repointing and stucco repair. All other work, both exterior and interior, have been unpermitted. Staff request counter from the Architecture Committee regarding the proposed lot retention.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name, address, and relationship to the property?
My name is Christian Garris. My address is 434 Dauphine, and I'm the owner.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
So we're just here today on the gate lock, looking at the historic photos. The earliest photo I have of that gate, that metal modern gate, is 2010. The next oldest photo, from 1963, it shows a wooden gate. So at some point, this sort of modernish metal gate was installed. There was a metal, looked like maybe 5 or 10 year old deadbolt that was inoperable, and where that pad currently is, and that above the handle, and we removed that and replaced it with this, so the workers could access the property. It seemed the least intrusive. I looked, actually walking down here on the street, I think my building and one other are the only buildings, if this was not there, to not have a keypad. The building next door has a giant silver keypad with all kinds of clear plastic and so forth, and this seemed to be the least obtrusive and noticeable keypad that I could find on the market, to be honest. And it's in antique bronze, which matches that existing handle that was there on the line.
Thanks.
At some point, we would like to replace the gate with a wooden gate, depending on what the VCC thinks was originally there in the 1830s. It might have been a shorter gate or a metal gate, but we would love to replace it with something that's more appropriate.
Well, thanks for coming in today. So I'm going to ask the committee if they have any questions or comments for you or for the staff about this.
I don't have any questions or comments on the gate hardware. I note that the staff mentions that there isn't a whole lot of permitted work here, but they've included a lot of photos of work that appears to be ongoing. So does the staff want us to ask about that, or?
I think we're here to talk about the keypad right now.
There's some issues with ownership that are, correct me if I'm wrong, with not to delve too far into it, but through the adjudication process, there's a divorce going on. There's some issues with ownership happening. So we're here to talk about
the gate.
Yeah, we're here to talk about the keypad.
So
the ownership is still joint.
So I guess the one question I have, there's a locked box on the gate as well. Is that going to be removed?
That's temporary.
So the answer is yes?
We can certainly remove that if you guys would like it to be removed.
It's kind of redundant, isn't it?
It is. The problem is some of the workers are not able to use the keypad and type the 4-digit code in. And we're complaining about it, so we added this on
there. Great. Okay. Is there any public comment on 434 Dauphine Street? Seeing no public comment, any final comments by the committee before we go to motion? Is there a motion in the matter of 434 Dauphine Street?
Yes. Yes, I'd like to move to approve retention of the keypad. Hardware installed on the alley gate without benefit of VCC review approval.
Is there a second for that motion?
Yep, I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
You get to keep your hardware.
Okay, thank you, sir.
We'll look forward to seeing you when we talk about the rest of the building.
Yes, we're going to be submitting plans for the remaining openings and all the cases.
Thank you so much. Take care. Next item on the agenda is 1000 North Rampart Street. We have an applicant present. Do we have a staff report, please?
Did take a few more pictures this morning of something that I put into this PowerPoint, but it was after the one y'all have was already distributed, so kind of keep an eye out though. This is for North Ramp. 1000 North Rampart is a green rated building, so are the service buildings, the courtyard, infill, and rear addition are brown. This is a review of structural details and masonry repair plan per application materials received November 1st, 2022, and March 16th, 2023. The applicant has submitted revised materials following committee review on December 8th. The committee moved the deferral with final review and approval at staff level, with the exception of the structural details and masonry repair plan. Engineering details have been submitted for the North Rampart side damaged column, which calls for a new cast iron column to match existing 4 3/4 inch diameter threaded rods set in existing footing with Hilti adhesive anchoring. A new wishbone type connection is shown above the column capital, with a rivet to tie it to the existing structure behind the fascia. A detail is also provided for a new pipe column. It is unclear if this is a replacement pipe column for the second service building close to Burgundy, or if this pipe column is to be installed within the new North Rampart side gallery column. Staff notes that the iron column capital is glued around, should be specified and submitted for review prior to permit if no historic material is to be salvaged. Persico helical stitch tie bars are proposed for installation in several areas, above a large window on the first floor of the main building on North Rampart, above a second floor main building window on St. Philip, and above two doors on the St. Philip elevation of the rearmost dependency. These ties are used for crack repair or supplemental support during lintel replacement, are laid into the mortar joint between bricks rather than being drilled through, and are not part of a grout injection system. The provided detail shows the mortar joint and the first wife cleaned out, a bead of sure grout S, a helical tie, another bead of sure grout, another tie, another bead of sure grout to be finished with the ACC mortar. Staff reached out to Persico to inquire about the PSI of the sure grout and asked, quote, I expect it will probably be harder than we typically permit with masonry this old. If so, would this installation method still work using our mortar formula, which is closest to a K-type mortar? A representative from their anchoring systems group responded, quote, our grout hardens to 2,000 PSI after 3 days and a max of 3,500 PSI after 28 days. While the grout is harder than you typically permit, it will work in your application with no adverse effects. The reason this grout will work is because you are using a small bead tucked back an inch and a half into the horizontal joint. If a person were to touch point the whole building with our sure grout, then you would have an issue with the grout hardness popping the soft brick. Staff has no concerns regarding installation of these ties in this manner, since they do not destroy historic materials by drilling through them, but staff is unsure if the PSI of the sure grout would be concerned in this application. Since it is used less liberally and more strategically than a grout injection system, the committee may consider a suitable alternative to that more aggressive strategy. The applicant has also submitted additional information about the proposed, quote, breathable damp force fluid treatment, including a spec sheet for Persico Conservator damp force fluid. It is described as a highly specialized compound formulated for injection application into older masonry surfaces. The material is designed to correct the problem of rising damp in older buildings caused by masonry which stand in continuously wet ground and do not contain a physical barrier to the upward capillary migration of moisture. It is a specially formulated siliconate water repellent designed for either low pressure injection or gravity feed into holes drilled at regular intervals in the masonry. The fluid impregnates the masonry, migrating through the capillaries and forms a chemical barrier. By aligning the pores with conservator damp force fluid, the natural capillary action of the porous substrate is interrupted and water does not migrate. The applicant stated that she understood this fluid has been used in transporter for many years. Unfortunately, injected waterproofing materials have been a significant work without permit issue and are not considered approvable as the installation method is very destructive to historic masonry and it does not successfully abate rising damp. The holes drilled for application are often visible as ghosting in the stucco as well and are not easily patched. Staff often inspects properties that have had this treatment done without approval and the results are not positive, often requiring the owner to try other abatement methods very soon after undertaking the injection work. Staff recommends denial of any injected waterproofing fluid with the applicant to consider other methods or materials.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
My name is Michelle Richard, Burgess Rome Architects, 320 North Carrollton Avenue, Suite 100. And we appreciate the staff's thorough review of all the elements of this project. With respect to the replacement pipe column, that is intended at the second service building in the rear courtyard, not at the Rampart Street elevation. And on the damp coursing fluid, we can certainly research an alternative solution.
Thank you. I note that we have a note from the audience, Nikki Zielinski.
Nikki Zielinski, 1011 St. Philip. Just do a repoint. This building desperately, desperately, desperately needs a thorough repoint. And when you do that, you can do a waterproof course of slate or copper, that you can bring to the VCC, mm-hmm. slate being the traditional method. This building has been ignored for so long. It has so many bizarre close-ins, and it probably doesn't breathe like it should, and latex paint is about the worst thing you can do to this building. So repoint it and restucco it and paint it with metal paint.
Thank you for that. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff regarding this proposal?
I do share concerns about the injectable damp course, and so I had a question, which was, is the interior floor of the building or portion of the building that you're proposing, that is it raised, a raised wood floor? Because it looks like the height of the doorway and the steps.
There are many different floors. And at the particular corner, at the second service building along the side street, it looks like there's like a laminate floor, like a wood laminate floor mm-hmm. interior. So I don't know what the condition is underneath that. But.
I typically have a concern over a chemical injection treatment for damp coursing because of sort of the way that it is required to be drilled so close together throughout the entirety of the wall. And I also, at the same time, have concerns over a mechanical damp course insertion based off of how absolutely difficult that is to do.
Okay.
Anything I've ever done has resolved a problem on the interior, so I don't, you know, that's not something I think that matter. I can't, you know, suggest anything like that since it's outside of our purview.
Any comments on the PSI rating for the repointing grout for the stitch ties?
It seems like we got confirmation from Prosoco that they're comfortable with it, though I don't know what recourse we would have if it did cause damage.
This is the one that we went to the lunch and learned about, right?
Yes,
you were there. Yes.
We're not proposing a lot of locations of this.
Right.
Is this still?
And we did have an engineer survey it and determined only a certain couple areas that were of concern.
Just for the record, who was your engineer?
It's Morphy Mahosky.
Okay.
Could I ask you, is this has this been used any place else in the
neighborhood? No, but I was wanting it to be used somewhere.
Well, I was wondering.
We were quite impressed with the lunch and learn that we had about it. And it seemed it seemed way less invasive than some of the other things.
I was wondering if due to the fact that it's also a specific location and not building wide, if this would be something we could consider as
test case.
Yeah, yeah. That seems kind of like it's a good setup to consider that, given the staff's interest in being able to observe it.
Okay, would you like to make any other statements before we go to a motion?
Do not.
Okay. Is there any more discussion? Do we miss anything that's important here?
Question, there is a broken cast iron column on Rampart.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that going to be, that's going to be replaced in kind or repaired?
In kind. That's in the staff report, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, got
that's
it.
In the details.
And staff requested something about the column capital, didn't they?
I don't.
Yeah, we just need a spec from, like, if you're getting from Orleans, one of the whole, we just need to see the dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there a motion in the matter of, is this 1000 North Rampart?
Yeah, in the matter of 1000 North Rampart, I move to approve the proposed work with the exception of the damp course fluid, which we deny. Perhaps I can amend it. Conceptually approve the proposed work with any final details to be worked out at the staff level and denial of the damp coursing fluid.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
I'd like to second for the motion.
Okay. All motions been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The motion passes. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
The next and last item on the agenda is 827 St. Peter Street. Oh, you were here at the very beginning.
Sorry, Mr. Walker.
Mr. Locker.
Yes.
Okay, could we have the staff report, please?
I'm very impressed with you guys meeting. Really, first time. I really loved it. I would like to come back as just a spectator.
Yeah, you're right. But let's look at the staff report first, and then okay. we'll give you a chance to speak.
Okay. 827-29 St. Peter, the Green Rated Building. Does it propose to retain work started contract to permit stucco work, including the use of plastic glass and inset mortar? Application materials received January 20th and March 1st, 2023, respectively. Staff issued a permit back in January for some violation corrections of this property, including sounding of stucco and repairing where necessary as per VCC standard details. The permit also noted that the use of lath of any kind was prohibited. Staff inspected the work in progress on March 1st and found that a plastic or fiberglass mesh was being used in repairs of the stucco walls. Additionally, staff found that the stucco being applied was actually inset mortar, typically used for insulation of tile. It was unclear how this material will perform in this type of application for which it is not designed. Quick research online noted that inset's sole purpose is to hold tiles in place on floors and walls, and that it is too fragile to act as a standalone finish. Fortunately, these attributes should make the removal of the inset and lath relatively easy. Care should be taken not to damage the underlying masonry, and the applicant should contact staff if there is any complications to removal of these unfinished materials. Staff recommends denial of the proposed retention of the lath and inset mortar, with the applicant to perform the work as per VCC standard details as were previously permitted.
Okay, would you like to state your name and address and relationship with the property?
Damon Lockhart. This is for the 827-29. St. Peter.
Okay, and you are?
I'm here representing Ms. Rosanna.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Ms. Rosanna Lopez.
Okay, as a...
And as a project manager.
Okay, great, project. Thank you. Do you have a statement or
yeah.
response to
when
the...
Yeah, and we were eager to start the process. I pulled the permit. I gave it to my contractor. They were moving a lot faster than I could really be there to really go step by step with them. I had some other projects going on. I was trying to get back there to really slow them down because I've done work in Bywater, but VCC is totally different. I appreciate the architectural work of the French Quarter and all of the older houses and ones because I have some of my own. And so in doing so, this particular guy, he seemed to have jumped out there and had a mind of his own. And when I saw what was going on with the shutters and a few other things, I stopped him. But this right here, I was very upset about it. And when I pulled the permit, I didn't read it. I immediately gave it to him. He's a contractor.
Yeah.
Read it, go by the specs, you know, and go forward. Well, since then, I know someone who manages a few buildings in the French Quarter. He recommended a guy to me who does the stucco, so he has knowledge of it. So I have him on my team now. And now what we want to try to do is if we can avoid tearing this off, maybe smoothing it out and going back with the VCC stuff over it. It's just one side of the building. It's about 80% of the building of that size. But if we can smooth it off and then go back over it with the VCC stucco, and finish just that side. The other side and the rest of the building will definitely be done per specification of VCC. And that's what I'm just asking if I could just move forward. Because I know how costly it may be to the owner, ripping that off. And I was trying to get a price on it this morning, and the guy said he wouldn't know until he starts pounding.
So, you know, how hard it is. You know, kind of strictly speaking, we review things based on architectural merit. That hardships, such as cost, are really something that would be considered by the commission if you were to appeal this our decision to the commission. So, but we'll have to get to the point where we decide what we're going to do before we know whether a hardship would be something you want to bring to the commission. Before we get to committee discussion, we have a comment from Nikki Zielinski on this matter. Thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant?
Can
or for the
I say one thing?
I'm going to just, let's, okay, well, please,
sorry.
No, you might just cut right to the...
I mean, I'm agreeable with whatever you guys come up with.
Okay, that makes
you
it really easy.
Because no, I have to go by your guidelines,
yes.
Not mine.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I'm just throwing my mercy to the court.
Yeah, okay, committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff?
When the permit was given to the contractor who ended up doing the work, it should have been clearly outlined.
It says in 14-point font. I read it.
So hopefully it would actually not cost the building owner to fix it, since it was done outside of the scope of work that was they were hired for.
That's not. I think what we just have to do is say whether we're going to approve this installation or not.
My concern is because of the fact that it's not the breathable stucco applied the way it should be. My concern is always going to be for the building materials, and I think that's from the architectural standpoint here, taking hardship out of the account. That's kind of the only thought I can have on it.
And I'd like to just respond to your kind of proposed mitigation. Not what's on the surface that's important here, it's what actually gets built into the wall. And so by putting the approved material on the outside, you're still leaving the stuff that actually causes concern in the section of the wall. So I think that's probably why we're not going to be able to approve your appeal. But that's speculation at this point.
Just so you guys know, and I know that you already know this, this was not this process. They were trying to fix a violation. In both walls were supposed to be sounded out and repointed and restuccoed. It wasn't sounded out at all. This was just applied.
Right.
Yeah.
So do we have a motion in the matter of 827? What's your turn?
In the matter of 827 St. Peter, I'd like to move to deny the retention of the thinset mortar and plastic backing mesh that was installed outside of the scope of the permit.
And require its removal.
Just
to be very clear. Do I have a second for that motion?
Yes, I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sorry, the staff can work with you if you or your owner want to appeal this to the commission based on hardship. That they'll be able to help you figure that out. That brings us to the end of our regular agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Just a moment. I'd like to have a second motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. You're off the record. You can say whatever you want.
Stephen, will you press that button?
Then you can say whatever you want.